Anti-government protests have rocked Venezuela for the past 2 months, leaving more than 30 people dead and hundreds more injured or arrested. The demonstrators have been out on the streets calling for President Nicolas Maduro to resign and complaining about a long list of problems, from food shortages to soaring crime.
But as the government has increasingly cracked down on street demonstrations, some protest leaders have changed tactics. They're directing their appeal to slum dwellers who have long been the backbone of support for the country's ruling socialist government. Andrew Rosati has more from Venezuela's capital, Caracas.
Thousands of anti-government demonstrators join a student rally. In an affluent business district in Caracas, they're protesting rampant crime, shortages of basic consumer goods, and what they consider to be growing repression. One protester here, however, is taking a different message to the streets. Jorge Drogo, a brawny public school teacher from the slum of Petare, screams into a megaphone. While he, too, is denouncing the troubled state of the country, he's trying to gain the support of the poor. After nearly 2 months of protests, the presence of the working class and slum dwellers has still not been widely felt.
Young people of Venezuela, from slums and working class neighborhoods, we're organizing online. We're using the hashtag, I protest in my slum. The slums are united. We're being threatened, but we need to know that we're the majority.
I meet Jorge across town in his home district of Petare. It stands in stark contrast to the wealthy enclave of Chacao, where protesters clash almost daily with police. Like Brazil's favelas, Petare is one of Latin America's largest slums. Much of the district is a sprawling shantytown sitting on the outskirts of the capital, and it's in neighborhoods like these that Hugo Chavez gained widespread support by injecting the country's vast oil well. Here it's felt by residents in the form of schools, social programs, and subsidies.
It's true that those who protest the most vehemently, who are in the news, are from the middle and upper class. But it's not true that they're the only ones who protest. We're the most affected. Those who are being hit the hardest are the disadvantaged people in the slums, where staple products are more expensive and inflation is much higher. But what's peculiar is that people from the slums have learned to live with these problems and have grown accustomed to it.
To illustrate his point, Jorge took me to a bustling market in the heart of Petare. While goods like toilet paper and milk are often in short supply throughout the country, they're all on display here, being sold by street hawkers at twice and three times their store price. Jorge is searching for corn flour, a staple in Venezuelan cooking.
The regulated price is 22 bolivares. It's being offered here at 25 and there at 30, which is an awful lot considering that just a few days ago, the same product was being sold for 7.
In spite of rampant crime and high prices, many in Petare remain on the sidelines.
Many people here believe this government has provided an escape valve from poverty. So it's difficult for them to realize that this government that at one point pulled them out of poverty is now treading on them, mistreating them, and leaving them in a precarious situation. As an educator, a teacher, I feel I need to evaluate what's happening in my community and my country. I believe that what's happening is not right, and that I need to act to wake up those who are still indifferent.
Jorge organizes using social media and other means to project a message to arouse the spirit of Venezuela's poor.
I don't agree with the violence or the barricades. I don't agree with the violent clashes between police forces and civilians. I think the protest should come from the conscience of the people.
But he's quick to distance his efforts from those who have made international headlines, throwing rocks at security forces and erecting barricades to clog city streets. For Petare residents like Luis Antonio Garcia, such tactics are only accentuating existing problems.
I, for one, don't identify with these protesters. If I don't work, I don't eat. They don't know what it is to really work. I work to pay for my school and home, and all they are doing is taking time from my classes. They're just protesting for the sake of it. Things aren't the best here, but we have to work to move forward.
Garcia, like many who disagree with the demonstrations, criticized protesters as out-of-touch rock throwers bent on overthrowing the government. But Jorge is now working to bridge the gap across classes, helping the student protesters connect with the country's poor. Besides organizing, he's taken to shepherding university students into his neighborhood, many of which have never stepped foot in a slum.
For them, it's something completely different. It's like a foreigner visiting Machu Picchu for the first time.
Jorge chaperones a group of students from Simón Bolívar University to a neighborhood assembly. The event was built as a means for students to hear the problems affecting Petare residents. Malvira Angulo complains of the long hours she has to spend in line to feed her family, but also the violent turn that protests often take.
We're living in a terrible situation. I've waited in line for hours just to get a few packets of flour and some cooking oil. Every day we have to go out to try to find food. There is a right to protest, but I'm not for assaulting anyone, the barricades. I'm not for it.
The problem, Jorge says, is that many taking to the streets are looking for a quick fix.
There are people who want an immediate solution, overturning, ending, or kicking out those in power. The message reaches many radical sectors, but also divides many others. There's a problem of consciousness and content in the message. It's about uniting. It's difficult, but no one ever said it would be easy.